Ever notice how a good story just like sucks you right in?
Oh, yeah.
Like you can't put the book down or you're on the edge of your seat watching a movie.
For sure.
It's amazing how these storytellers use certain techniques to just completely captivate us.
Yeah, and they've been doing it forever, right?
You know, like playing with time, you see it all the time in movies and books, those flashbacks to the past.
Flashbacks.
It's such a common tool, and researchers have been studying this for ages.
Yeah.
People like Pavis back in 98, Kenny in 04,
Man.
even more recently, Jibouye in 2019, they've all talked about how powerful it can be to like shift back and forth in time within a story.
It adds such depth.
Right, exactly. And it makes you like, how do they do that? Like, how do these storytellers know just the right moment to interrupt the flow and jump back to the past?
Well, and it seems so natural for human storytellers. They just
Right.
they know how to make it work.
It's almost instinctive, but think about trying to teach a computer to do
Oh,
that.
wow.
To like really understand the nuances of time and how it affects characters and emotions.
Yeah.
Like to understand that a character might be longing for home even before they actually see it,
Right.
and to weave that feeling into the story out of order. It's a fascinating challenge.
Definitely a real challenge.
And that's exactly what we're diving into today.
Okay.
We've got the super interesting research paper.
All right.
It's called Go Back in Time: Generating Flashbacks in Stories with Afilt Temporal Prompts. It's by Han and their team.
Okay.
And it's from 2022. And they're tackling this really tricky problem: how to make AI generate these captivating stories using flashbacks, just like human authors do.
Interesting. So they're trying to make machines more creative, basically.
Exactly. And one of the first things they point out is that, you know, current AI systems actually really struggle with this whole idea of flashbacks.
I can see why that would be tricky.
And for a couple of pretty understandable reasons.
Okay, what are they?
So first off, the stuff that AI learns from, all those books and articles that they're trained on, they mostly present stories in a straight line, like from beginning to end.
Chronological order.
Right, exactly. And researchers like Ning in 2018, they actually found that in human-written text, about 60 to 70% of events are presented in the order they happened.
Oh, wow. So even humans tend to stick to that straight timeline most of the time.
Yeah, it's pretty common. But here's the thing: when you just let a typical AI language model generate stories, you know, without any special guidance, it actually makes this even worse.
Really?
Yeah, they found that it pushes that chronological order up over 80%.
So it's like the AI is even more stuck in that straight line than humans are.
Exactly. Like it's stuck on this one-way street of storytelling.
I see.
And then there's another problem, the second big challenge they identified.
Okay, what's that?
Well, most current story-generating AI, it doesn't actually get any specific instructions about when to use a flashback.
So there's no direction for the AI on how to break the timeline, basically.
Right, and as some researchers like Goldfarb Tarrant have pointed out, a lot of these AI systems just kind of assume that the order you tell a story is the same as the real-world order of events.
Ah, so they lack that flexibility to jump around in time.
Exactly. There's no built-in way to tell the AI, like, hey, this would be an awesome moment to jump back in time and reveal something important from the past.
Yeah.
So without those instructions, the stories can end up feeling kind of, well, a bit predictable.
Right, just one thing happening after another.
Yeah, it takes away some of the excitement.
Makes sense.
So for this deep dive, our mission is to figure out how these researchers, Han and their team, tried to solve these two big problems.
Okay, so how do they try to overcome the AI's tendency to stick to timelines and the lack of explicit guidance on using flashbacks?
Exactly. How did they try to break free from that straight line storytelling? And ultimately, did they actually make AI-generated stories more interesting?
That's the goal, right? To see if they could make machine-generated stories as captivating as those written by humans.
Right. And they even suggest that their paper is a big step forward in how we can get computers to tell stories in a more sophisticated way.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So, to really understand their approach and appreciate the solution they came up with, it helps to take a step back and understand why flashbacks work so well in the first place.
Okay, yeah. Why are flashbacks so effective in storytelling?
Well, the paper highlights some really interesting research on this, like the work of Brewer and Lichtenstein back in the early 80s,
Okay.
and then Tan and Allwith later on.
Right.
And their research suggests that flashbacks can really grab a reader's emotions.
So it's not just about providing information.
Right, it's about how it makes you feel.
I see.
They can create surprise, build suspense, and spark curiosity.
Yeah, I can see how that works.
It makes perfect sense when you think about it. When you get this sudden piece of the story out of order, it kind of forces you to rethink everything you thought you knew.
Right.
It creates a mystery.
Yeah, it makes you want to know more.
Exactly. It's like a puzzle you need to solve.
And the paper gives a great example from Shakespeare.
Oh, which one?
Hamlet. Remember that scene with the ghost?
Oh, yeah.
When the ghost appears and describes how Hamlet's father was actually murdered by the current king?
Right.
That's a flashback interrupting the main story to give us this crucial background, and it completely changes our whole understanding of what's happening in the present.
Yeah, that scene completely shifts everything.
Suddenly, the stakes are higher, and we understand why Hamlet is so conflicted.
It adds so much depth to the whole story.
Exactly. And the paper also gives this really simple two-sentence story example to illustrate the power of flashbacks.
Okay, I'm curious. What's the story?
Well, the basic events are the same in both versions. Someone lost consciousness and then woke up in the hospital.
Okay, pretty straightforward.
Right. But if you tell it chronologically, like, I lost consciousness, I woke up in the hospital,
Yeah.
it's pretty bland.
You can probably guess it was some kind of accident.
Exactly. They fainted or something.
Right, not very exciting.
But then they flipped the order. I woke up in the hospital. I had lost consciousness. Suddenly, that second sentence, acting like a little mini flashback, it just creates so much more intrigue.
Yeah, it makes you wonder how did they end up in the hospital? What happened before they lost consciousness?
Exactly. Same events, but that shift in the timeline, just using that one flashback, makes the second story way more captivating.
It really highlights the power of a well-placed flashback.
Absolutely.
So, knowing why flashbacks are such a powerful storytelling tool, the question is, what did these researchers actually do to try and get machines to use this technique effectively?
Well, their main idea was to give the AI a kind of roadmap for the story's timeline.
Okay.
They call these temporal prompts.
Temporal prompts. Okay.
And they embedded these prompts within what they called structured storylines.
Structured storylines with temporal prompts.
Right.
Okay, I think we need to break this down a bit. Let's start with structured storylines. What exactly are those?
Okay, so think of a structured storyline as a very basic skeleton of the story.
Okay.
For each key event in the story, they identified the main action, the verb,
Okay.
and then the who or what was involved in that action. They use something called semantic role labeling for this, or SRL.
SRL, all right.
You can think of SRL as AI breaking down a sentence into its core components.
So, like a dramatical analysis kind of.
Exactly. Like for a simple sentence, she grabbed the dog.
Okay.
The AI would represent this as something like grabbed she the dog,
Okay.
with a little ditto at the end, which just means end of event.
All right, got it. So they're taking each sentence and pulling out the essential bits.
Exactly. The action and the things doing or receiving the action.
And they use this to build the structured storyline, right?
Right. Now, here's where the temporal prompts come in.
Okay, so the temporal prompts, these are the time cues, right?
Exactly. Between these event representations in the structured storyline, they added these special markers that indicate how the events relate to each other in time.
Okay.
So whether one event happened before or after the other.
So they're giving the AI information about the order of events.
Exactly.
Instead of just giving it a list of events, they're adding these little time cues.
Right. They used three basic possibilities.
Okay, what are they?
Before, meaning the first event happened before the second one. After, meaning the first event happened after the second one.
Okay.
Which is key for flashbacks.
Right, because that means the story's jumping back in time.
Exactly. And then vage, for when the order isn't super clear.
So instead of just giving the AI a list of events, they're adding these little markers that say, like, this happened before that, or this happened after that.
Exactly. They're giving the AI these explicit instructions about the timeline.
Okay, that makes sense. And this is all built on this idea of the plan and write approach, right?
That's right, the plan and write framework.
So can you remind us, how does that work again?
So basically, the AI first creates this structured storyline
Okay.
with those event snippets and the temporal prompts,
Right.
and then it uses that plan as a guide to actually write the full story.
So it plans the timeline first and then fills in the details with natural language.
Exactly. So going back to our she grabbed the dog example,
Okay.
if the next planned event was white snow blanketed the ground and the temporal prompt between them was after,
Okay.
the AI would understand that the dog grabbing happened after the snow fell.
Okay.
So then it could decide to actually mention the snow first in the story.
To create that flashback effect.
Exactly.
So cool. But how does the AI know what those temporal prompts should be?
Well, they weren't just randomly assigned. They actually came from the original stories that the AI learned from. The researchers used this really cool AI tool called Econet,
Econet. Okay.
which was kind of like a timeline detective.
The timeline detective.
Yeah, it's really good at recognizing these before, after, and vague relationships between events and text.
So they used another AI to help figure out the timeline for the stories.
Exactly. They fine-tuned Econet to be really good at identifying these temporal relationships, and they even used a kind of voting system across multiple runs of Econet.
To make sure the prompts were as accurate as possible.
Exactly. So at this stage, they're not expecting the AI to figure out the timeline on its own.
Right. They're giving it the order that they want.
Exactly.
So they're using Econet to create these temporal props based on the original stories, and then they feed those prompts into the structured storyline, which then guides the AI when it's actually writing the story.
That's a great summary.
Okay, cool. Now, the paper also talks about this idea of training the whole system together end to end and using something called reinforcement learning.
Right. Those are crucial parts of their approach.
I'm not sure I fully grasp how those pieces fit in.
Okay, so let's start with end-to-end training.
Okay.
Often in these plan and write systems, the part that creates the storyline, the planner, and the part that writes the actual story, the writer, they're trained separately.
Okay.
And that could be a problem.
Why is that?
Because during training, the story writer, it learns from perfect human-created storylines.
Okay, that makes sense.
But then when it's actually trying to write a story on its own, it has to use a storyline that the AI came up with, which might not be perfect.
So it's kind of like learning to bake a cake using a perfect recipe.
Exactly.
And then you have to try and make it on your own, but you don't have all the exact ingredients.
That's a perfect analogy.
And that can cause problems, right?
Exactly. That's what they mean by this training inference discrepancy. The story writer isn't used to working with imperfect storylines.
So to bridge this gap, they used end-to-end training.
Right, which basically means that the story writing part, the writer, it learns directly from the storylines that the AI itself is generating.
Oh, okay, so it's learning from its own mistakes in a way.
It's more like learning to work with the materials it has available.
Right.
So the story writer gets used to working with plans that might not be absolutely perfect.
So it's a more realistic training scenario.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. And then on top of that, they added reinforcement learning.
Right, reinforcement learning, or RL. This is where it gets really interesting.
Okay, tell me more.
Think of RL as giving the AI feedback on how good its stories are.
So like a teacher giving grades?
Yeah, kind of. They specifically used an algorithm called Reinforce.
Okay.
And the idea is to let the story writing part of the AI give a signal back to the storyline planning part.
So it's a two-way communication between the planner and the writer.
Exactly.
So how does that work?
Well, they use something called the negative loss of the story model as a reward.
The negative loss, okay.
Basically, if the storyline created by the planner leads to a well-written, coherent story, which means the story model has a low loss or error, then the storyline model gets a reward.
So the better the story, the better the planner did its job.
Exactly. And that encourages the planner to create similar types of storylines in the future.
Including those that might set up a good flashback.
Precisely. So this feedback loop, it's constantly helping the AI learn how to create storylines that lead to better stories overall.
And that includes figuring out when to use flashbacks?
Exactly. It's learning to be a better storyteller through this feedback process.
Okay, so they've got their structured storylines with these time-related hints, and they're training the whole system together with this reinforcement learning feedback loop.
Right.
Now, the big question is, did it all pay off? Did it actually work?
Well, that's what they wanted to find out.
So how did they evaluate their method?
They tested their approach using two different sets of stories.
Okay.
One was called ox stories, which are these short 5-sentence narratives.
Okay.
And the other was writing prompts, which are much longer and more varied stories.
So they tested their method on both short and long form storytelling.
Exactly. And for rock stories, they actually gave their storyline model a head start by pre-training it on this massive collection of books called corpus.
So it already had a good understanding of how stories are structured, the flow of events.
Exactly. They want to make sure it had a good foundation.
And how did they get those temporal prompts for these new stories?
Right. They used ECONET.
The timeline detective.
That's right. They used ECONET to predict the temporal relationships in the original stories, whether one event happened before, after, or vaguely around the same time as the next one.
And they use this information to create the temporal prompts for the AI to work with.
Exactly. They actually trained ECONET multiple times and then kind of took a vote across those different runs.
To decide on the final prompt.
Right.
To make sure they had the most reliable timeline information possible.
Exactly.
Okay, so they've got their data, their AI model, and their temporal prompts. But how did they actually measure whether this whole flashback thing was working?
Well, they used a combination of automatic evaluation metrics, which means using computers could analyze the stories.
Okay.
And human evaluation, where they had actual people read the stories and give their feedback.
Ah, so a mix of quantitative and qualitative assessment.
Exactly. On the computer side, they looked at things like perplexity, which basically tells you how well the AI predicts the next word in a sequence.
Okay.
And generally, lower perplexity is better.
Meaning the AI is doing a good job of understanding the flow of the language.
Exactly. They also looked at something called distinct ratio, which measures how diverse the vocabulary is in the AI-generated stories.
Right, because you don't want the AI just using the same words over and over again.
Exactly. You want it to be creative with its language. And then they also use some standard metrics like BlueU and Rouge.
Okay, I've heard of those.
These basically compare the AI-generated text to human-written examples.
So you're seeing how similar the AI's writing is to human writing.
Right, to see how well it's mimicking human language and storytelling.
Okay, those all sound like good ways to check the overall quality of the writing.
Exactly. Those metrics give you a general sense of how well the AI is writing. But they also wanted to specifically evaluate the flashbacks, right?
Right. How did they measure that?
That's where the human evaluation came in. They had people read the stories that the AI generated and rate them on several criteria.
Okay.
One was temporal diversity.
Temporal diversity. So that's how much the AI is jumping around in time.
Exactly. It basically measures the percentage of times the AI uses a non-chronological order in its stories.
So they were looking to see if their method actually led to more of those after relationships, which indicate flashbacks, compared to just a basic AI that doesn't have any special guidance.
Exactly. More after prompts should mean more flashbacks in the generated stories.
Right. And they also measured accuracy, didn't they?
Yes, they looked at accuracy, specifically focusing on how often an after a prompt in the planned storyline actually resulted in a flashback in the story itself.
Okay.
So whether the AI was actually following those timeline instructions they gave it.
So basically, would the AI able to correctly implement the flashbacks that they had planned for?
That's exactly what they were testing. And then, importantly, they also looked at temporal coherence.
Oh, right. Because you can have flashbacks, but the overall story still needs to make sense.
Exactly. It wouldn't make sense if the story said it was sunny after it had rained, and then 5 minutes later someone was talking about how the rain was just starting.
Right. You don't want the flashbacks to create contradictions or make the story confusing.
Exactly. The timeline still needs to be logical, even with those jumps back and forth.
So they were making sure the AI was using flashbacks effectively and not just randomly throwing them in.
Precisely. And then lastly, they had people evaluate the interest level of the stories.
Okay, the interest level. So how engaging the stories were.
Exactly. And they specifically told the human judges to focus on how unexpected yet still logical the stories were.
So a good story should have some surprises, but it still needs to make sense overall.
Right. You want that element of surprise and intrigue, but you don't want it to be nonsensical.
So how did the stories with flashbacks actually score on these criteria?
Well, the results were really encouraging.
Okay, tell me more.
For the Rossi stories, the shorter stories, the AI model that used reinforcement learning, the one with the feedback loop, it generally produced good quality text.
Okay, so the basic writing was good.
Yeah, according to those automatic measures, it was doing a good job.
And what about the flashbacks?
That's the exciting part. This RL model, it was the most accurate at actually using those after-bay prompts.
So it was really good at implementing those flashbacks.
Exactly. And when they looked across all the models that use temporal prompts, they found that they showed significantly more temporal diversity compared to a baseline AI that didn't have any guidance on the timeline.
So they were successfully breaking free from that straight-line storytelling.
Exactly. And importantly, the story still made sense. They maintained good temporal coherence.
So the flashbacks weren't creating a jungled mess.
No, they were being integrated into the stories in a way that made sense.
And what about the interest level? Did people actually find the stories with flashbacks more interesting?
That's the key question, right? And the answer is yes. Generally speaking, interest levels were higher for the models that use temporal prompts.
So the flashbacks were making the stories more engaging for readers.
That's what the data suggests. And they found similar trends with the longer writing prompt stories as well.
So it worked for both short and long form stories.
That's right. Although measuring the accuracy of the flashbacks for those longer stories was a bit more complex.
I can imagine.
But they used a statistical measure called Pearson correlation and found that there was a strong positive relationship between using temporal prompts and having more after relationships in the generated stories.
Meaning more flashbacks.
Exactly.
So it seems like their method was pretty successful overall. They gave the AI specific guidance on using flashbacks, and it actually worked both in terms of the AI following the instructions and in terms of making the stories more interesting for readers.
It's really promising research.
But they also did some further analysis, didn't they?
They did.
To understand how all these factors like temporal diversity, coherence, the number of flashbacks, and interest level, how they all related to each other.
Right. It was a bit complex, but they found that when the flashbacks were done well, having more of them actually led to more interesting stories.
So it's not just about having flashbacks, it's about using them effectively.
Exactly.
But the paper also talks about some of the errors that the AI made.
Right, they did an error analysis, which is often where you get the most valuable insights.
So tell me about what they found.
Well, one thing they noticed was that sometimes their best model, the RL one, actually had lower temporal coherence than a simpler AI model.
So even though it was better at generating flashbacks, it sometimes messed up the overall timeline.
Yeah, in some cases, even though the AI successfully created a flashback mentioning a past event later on, it sometimes created a sequence of events that didn't quite make sense in the real world.
Oh, can you give me an example of that?
Yeah, like in one story, someone was described as looking forward to hearing a new album after the story had already described them listening to it all day.
Oops. So they got the flashback right, but the bigger picture was a bit wonky.
Exactly. Which suggests that while the AI is learning how to insert flashbacks, it still needs to improve its understanding of how to maintain consistency across the entire timeline of the story.
Yeah, it needs to think about the big picture.
Right. And they also found that in terms of temporal diversity, their model didn't always have the highest percentage of non-chronological events.
Interesting.
Yeah, there was a baseline AI system called Megatron, which sometimes had a higher percentage of non-chronological events.
So Megatron was jumping around in time more.
Well, when they looked closely at the stories that Megatron generated, they noticed that often this was because it was using a lot of those vagotemporal relations.
Okay.
So while it was technically breaking the timeline more often, the stories sometimes ended up being a bit jumbled or nonsensical.
So their model, even though it might have had a slightly lower overall temporal diversity, it was generating more meaningful and coherent non-chronological sequences.
Exactly.
So it's not just about throwing in random flashbacks, it's about using them in a way that enhances the story and doesn't confuse the reader.
That's a great point.
So what's the big takeaway from all this?
Well, the researchers successfully demonstrated a new method for making AI-generated stories more interesting.
And how did they do that?
By specifically guiding the AI to use flashbacks.
And that guidance came from?
Those structured storylines with the temporal prompts trained end-to-end and using reinforcement learning to constantly give the AI feedback on its performance.
So it's a pretty sophisticated system, but it seems to work.
Yeah, the results are really promising.
And for us, as people who enjoy stories, this research is really exciting. It means we're getting closer to a future where AI can create truly captivating and engaging narratives, just like humans can.
Exactly. It's pushing the boundaries of what AI can do.
And beyond just creative writing and entertainment, think about how this ability to control the timing of events in a story could impact other fields.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like in education, could this change how we present information and make learning more engaging?
Yeah, by using flashbacks to highlight key concepts or connect different ideas.
Or even in things like therapy, could this help people process their own experiences and memories in a more constructive way?
By restructuring their own personal narratives.
Exactly. The possibilities are pretty amazing. It makes you wonder, what other storytelling techniques could we try to teach AI? What other tricks of the trade could we codify and see if the AI can learn to use them?
That's a fascinating question. This research really feels like it's opened up a whole new area to explore.
Absolutely. And if you're curious to learn more about the specifics of their method, you can check out the research paper itself. They usually have a link to the code and data in the abstract.
Yeah, it's worth a read.
It's exciting to think about where this research could lead and what kinds of stories AI might be able to tell in the future.
Absolutely. The future of storytelling might be more interesting than we could have imagined.
Definitely. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time.
See you then.